Everybody, welcome to Fantasy Football with the Plumpster. Today we're going to look at the top 10. This is going to be a best ball draft. We're going to look at the top 10 or so running backs that will be available. Basically the first round backs and early second round backs. Let's take a look at that. We're going to use Underdog for this exercise. I really like Underdog. I've talked about it for the baseball, best ball. I've talked about it for basketball, best ball. So obviously now it's football time. It's only going to be football time on this podcast going forward. So let's dive in. I'm going to go through a $5 puppy. It's called the puppy draft that I did. I'm going to go through just kind of the first round and look at and kind of go through each running back and what my overall opinion is of them. And if I think there was 9 or 10 running backs in the first round. There was 10. Perfect. The 10 I wanted. And if we have a couple extra minutes, we'll touch on the next, like, two or three. But let's start at the top. Christian McCaffrey, obviously a stud, right? Basically a consensus number one pick. No arguments there. But we got to be... Let's dive in the weeds a little bit. You know, we can't just, everything can't be flowers and roses here. We gotta dive in the weeds. So let's start right off the rip. Teddy Bridgewater came on All Things Covered podcast and basically said Matt Rhule and the coaching staff never even considered practicing red zone offense as a first year head coach in the NFL. That's an issue here for the Carolina Panthers moving forward and the offense moving forward. So that's one knock on McCaffrey. Knock number two, Sam Darnold, right? I mean, yeah, he's a highly touted prospect. He never really showed it at USC, in my opinion, and obviously never showed it with the New York Jets. So where is there to think that now all of a sudden – on a below 500 football team with basically below average offensive talent around him, other than DJ Moore. You can say what you want about Robbie Anderson. He's fine. He's nothing. You know, he's a replacement level receiver, in my opinion. No real tight end help whatsoever. There's issues there in that offense. And the offensive line isn't a top tier offensive line by any stretch. Number three, he's coming off major injuries, right? This is a smaller guy at his position, toting a heavy load for the last 3 years. He's one of the most prominent running backs we've had in fantasy football over the last 20 years. He's been unbelievable. The last full season he played, he was 1,000-yard receiver, 1,000-yard rusher. However, that takes a toll on your body as a running back in the NFL with a below-average offensive line and below-average talent around you. So, there are some red flags here, and I just want people to realize, you know, when I'm doing these best ball drafts, when you're doing your home league, you know, season-long draft, and you get the number one pick, yeah, you can click McCaffrey, that's fine. However, really take a look here, because there are some other guys we're about to get to that can... that may have upside for that number one pick. And the guy I really like is Dalvin Cook here. Dalvin Cook is just a workhorse. Last year he had over 300 carries, over 40 receptions. He missed a handful of games. He really, in the offseason, is working to not miss any games. And obviously, as a running back, you know, you get rolled up on, you know, get your ankles twisted. Anything like that can happen. However, I just think he, at his size, there's a better opportunity for him to do what McCaffrey did and stay healthy the whole season. He will have a rookie left tackle this year. They lost Riley Reiff to the Bengals. But that isn't as concerning to me with the fact that you have Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen on the outside, and Irv Smith will fill in for Kyle Rudolph at tight end. And I really liked Irv Smith since coming out of Alabama. That's a big, to me, offensive upgrade. I just think the Minnesota offense in general, even though I'm not the biggest Kirk Cousins guy, he's like, to me, the, like, if you want to talk about middle of the road quarterbacks, he is the top of that list. But I'd rather have a middle of the road quarterback than Sam Darnold every day of the week. And Kirk Cousins has shown it and proved it and been there and done it. So I just, there's, don't be so fast if you have the number one pick to pull the trigger on McCaffrey is all I'm trying to say. Don't be afraid to dabble in the waters with Dalvin Cook. Next option is obviously Derrick Henry. Well, kind of consensus. There's another guy we'll get to next that you can make the argument for, but I'm going to make the argument for Derrick Henry at number one. You know, he almost carried the ball 400 times last year, and he's going to have another game, right? 17 games. He was, I think, 18 carries short, or 22, something like that, short of 400 carries, topped over 2,000 yards. He gets four games against the Jags and the Texans. That could be 800 yards right there in those four games. Yeah, he has to play the NFC West, which includes a man such as Aaron Donald, defensive line in San Francisco. So that's a little bit concerning. But just given those four games against Jacksonville and Houston, there's so many, there's such upside for him now that Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are in Tennessee, and it's going to really open up the box for him as long as Julio can stay healthy and be 86% of what he once was. I just see Derrick Henry being a monster. This is not a guy I see getting hurt for a long stretch of time. Nobody can tackle this guy. I'd say he's right in the prime of his career. Last year was probably the best year he'll ever have, but I could see one or two more of those years with this guy. He's another kind of animal, man. I'm not saying you got to take him with the number one pick, but he's definitely another guy you got to consider. And I could see another massive year from him, and I could see the Titans being very good and being in a lot of shootouts just because their defense has gotten better, but it's still not great. So something you guys want to consider there, Derrick Henry. Next, obviously, Alvin Kamara. Going to be an issue here with a new quarterback who we still don't know who it's going to be. I'm assuming it's Jameis Winston, which, hey, the guy's going to sling the rock. His eyes got fixed, apparently. Sean Payton had already had a year with him. Let's see how that works out. He was fine when Taysom Hill was in there last year. So let's see, man. I've drafted Kamara. Actually, in the league we're in, I drafted Kamara. I had the fourth pick. I happily took Alvin Kamara. I had no issues with it. He's my keeper in my home fantasy league. I've been a Kamara guy for a long time. The receptions are great. The rushing's good enough, and he gets the ball in the red zone. He can punch it home pretty often. So let's just that's your top four. We get to a little bit of a tier step down after those guys into Saquon Barkley. The reason so being not that he's not talented enough to be in that tier, he is. The offense in New York is better. Obviously, adding Kenny Galladay is huge. We'll see how Daniel Jones progresses here. Kadarius Toney could be a very interesting rookie for that offense. So there's some pieces there, man. Plus, you still have Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram. Looking for a huge bounce back season from him. So the offense is primed to be able to handle things over there. Obviously, you got to play the football team twice, and they have a unreal defensive line. So that's kind of a concern. But other than that, man, Saquon should get back to form as we expected him to be coming out of Penn State here this season. I really like Joe Judge as well as a head coach. I think the Giants are kind of flying under the radar this year. A lot of people are talking up Dallas, which I understand. We'll get to Dallas here shortly. But I think they're sleeping on the Giants football, or the New York Giants, the football team here a little bit. So don't be afraid to take Saquon if you have that 5th, 6th pick area. Hopefully he's ready for week one. He's kind of been nonchalant about it, trying not to give away too much info. But I'm a big fan of Saquon this year. Next up is Zeke. This is an interesting one. They're going to be a pass-heavy offense again. We all know that. Zeke's numbers while Dak was playing for the first 4.5 games were just on par with what Zeke has always done, right? However, after Dak went out and you were playing with Andy Dalton and Cooper Rush, I mean, his numbers just fell off a cliff. It almost looked like, you know, you watch the Cowboys, they were on national TV so often, and, you know, this guy didn't even want to be out there. I don't know, I worry a little bit about that, but I think it was product of the no Dak situation, a first-year coaching for them in McCarthy, maybe not gelling properly yet with that team. I'm not too concerned with it. If Zeke's there at 6, 7, 8, and the top five guys are gone, I have no issues with that. And I think that offense will be potent. I'm very high on Dak, very high on CeeDee Lamb this year. So, and a little bit of Blake Jarwin as well. So this offense, the defense should be just as bad as it was last year. So they should just have to score at will. They should be putting up close to 30 points a game. This is one of the most electric offenses in the NFL. Moving on, Jonathan Taylor, very interesting. Second-year guy here, unreal talent, speed, strength. He's got it all. Outstanding offensive line, the best guard in football, Quentin Nelson, blocking for him. They did lose Anthony Costanzo to retirement, which isn't ideal. He's a stud left tackle, or was. The offense is good, too. I mean, Carson Wentz, let's see how the reclamation project goes. It should be great with Frank Reich. You got T.Y. on the outside. You got Michael Pittman. So I see a lot of upside for Jonathan Taylor this year. Not really much competition. Marlon Mack coming off that major injury he suffered week one against Jacksonville last year. He'll just be a backup to Jonathan Taylor. Just spell him once in a while. And Nyheim Hines is strictly a third down pass catching back. So this is basically Taylor's offense. So a lot of interest in Jonathan Taylor in that seventh running back range. Here we have Antonio Gibson in this draft going ahead of Austin Eckler and Cam Akers. I don't necessarily agree with that, but let's talk about him. There's really nobody else in that offense to even worry about at the running back position to take actual carries away from him. He's kind of shown he can handle past work, but overall, I like their offensive line. I like the division they play in. If you can get Antonio Gibson at the end of the first, early second, jump on him. I think he's going to be a stud back here. And those two games against Dallas will be vital to his fantasy season. Austin Eckler, I would actually prefer over him, coming off an injury-plagued season, to say the least. New coach in Brandon Staley, excited that Mike Lombardi will be his OC. The heavy Saints-style offensive mind there from the Sean Payton kind of cloth. So we could see maybe Eckler getting a lot of more of the Alvin Kamara role, which would be very exciting. So I'm definitely a little higher on Eckler than I am Gibson, especially in half-point and full-point PPR leagues. It's just you have to take Eckler over Gibson. Obviously, in non-PPR leagues, I probably would prefer Gibson, but this underdog is half-point PPR. So I'll take that half-point for all the receptions that I assume Eckler gets in a very, very solid offense with Herbert, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. I mean, this offense is pretty damn loaded. So, and Jared Cook filling in for Hunter Henry at tight end now. Last guy I'll talk about here is Cam Akers. Love Cam Akers. He came on awesome at the end of the season last year. It was great in DFS. Great streamer if you didn't have him already and year long. They showed last year, man, this is their guy. Sean McVay is going to lean on him a lot. He's his new Todd Gurley. So I just overall I'm super excited about Cam Akers. If you can get him end of the first, early second, you will be in great shape. I love their offense. My Super Bowl pick of the NFC is the St. Louis. I wish they were still in St. Louis. LA Rams. Not that I live there. I give a shit about that part. I just feel bad for St. Louis not having a football team. Obviously, we're Cleveland up here. But, I love Cam Akers this year. I have no qualms with it. I know there's a lot of people that a little suspect to hit, you know, the small sample size. I just think that's what we're going to see going forward from Cam Akers. I think he's an absolute stud. So, we're going to draft him a lot. But real quick, these underdog drafts are great. There's a $25 entry Millie Maker, which is totally awesome. Let's try that out. The $5 puppy, I think there's still 50 grand up top, which is still awesome. So do some of these drafts. It'll help you get ready for your home league. It'll help you get ready for DFS. Just as many as you can do, have fun with it. And we'll try to pump out some more podcasts on different, you know, different tiers of running backs, quarterbacks, things of that nature. And have fun with it, man. I'm going to try to do as many drafts as I can. Last thing, there's an option to do slow drafts. So if you can't sit there, they take about 40-45 minutes, which isn't terrible. But if you don't have that opportunity, you can do the slow draft. It might take a week, but you get 8 hours in between picks, and you don't have to take the whole 8 hours, but you got time to look at it and, you know, kind of analyze if you're between two or three guys. Hey, you know, do I want to go running back? Do I wait? And it gives you time to look at, okay, if I'm picking now and I'm up in eight more picks, okay, who's going to be available in eight picks? It gives you that time. So, and we're so kind of far away from the start of the season. There's no problem with starting multiple slow drafts now and having no worries that that they won't finish by the end of the season. All right, guys, enjoy it. We'll do something else soon. And let's get ready for some football.